Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Toonami Therapy. We're back, and I'd like to say we were better than ever, but we're probably about the same as we were before. Yep. I'm Michael, and my co-host is Tommy, and we'll do what we usually do. But before we get into this stuff, we sort of got an announcement on what's replacing Lupin the Third.
Yeah, we are getting Space Dandy to make a dandy return to the lineup. And it is going to be after Naruto, I think. They're going to move. Let me see. They're going to. Oh, now I forget. I think they're going to put it after Naruto. So they're going to move things around a little bit. I'm not sure if Cowboy Bebop is going to still be around.
Let me see.
I sort of had this up just in case.
Yeah, I'm finding a site that says that mentions it. Okay, so it's returning it. It says it will air between Outlaw Star and Cowboy Bebop.
Okay.
So it's getting put at some stuff is getting moved up. We've got Hunter, and then we go to Naruto, then Outlaw Star.
Okay.
Then Space Dandy. And then Cowboy Bebop, and then Ghost in the Shell.
Okay. All right.
So we got that. Yeah, it was a kind of a weird thing, because they mentioned that they had some other show that was going to go, but there were some last-minute legal issues that prevented them from that make it so that it's getting delayed. And I was just thinking, what kind of legal issues would they have with this? Like, what could it be?
Yeah.
And
was that maybe the Fooly Cooly season 2? Is that a possibility?
That is possible. I didn't even think of that. Let me see if there was some announcement about when it might be coming.
Because people were disappointed it wasn't Fooly Cooly part 2 and.
Okay, I'm just trying to see if I can find any, like, even estimated announcement.
Right, rumors or anything.
Okay, so I'm not seeing anything particularly recently about it. So I don't know, that would make some sense, but that could be it. But it would be really weird for it to be some sort of legal thing, because that was what struck me, because you didn't go into any detail. About it. I was thinking, and this is just, and I literally only thought of this like maybe half an hour. I could be totally going up the wrong tree on this, but I was just thinking, okay, legal issues. So maybe it's some sort of licensed thing. Like, you know, there's another party at play that you would need to get permission from, or something. Like, and then I just suddenly thought, What if it's the English dub of the Ace Attorney anime? which actually would ironically make legal issues have a double meaning, but
yeah.
I looked it up because I know they were dubbing it and they're like releasing it on DVD.
Oh, you're being serious. I thought you were making a joke.
No,
I'm sorry.
I realized like the pun there after. Whoa, oh, legal issues. Well, it's a court TV, but like the DVD thing, it's scheduled to come out later this month. So if they wanted to put it on Adult Swim to kind of advertise the DVD, now would make some sense possibly. And and it's based on a game series that Capcom makes, so maybe there was some issue with Capcom not agreeing with it properly or something like that that caused it. Like I said, I could be completely and utterly wrong. It's just I was trying to think of what animes that something like that might happen with, and that just popped into my mind.
Mm-hmm. Well, possible.
Yeah, I haven't seen the anime. I've played all the games though. But
all right,
yeah. That aside, so you never saw? I don't think you ever watched Space Dandy. Did you know anything about it?
No, I just the only thing I think I know about it is that it's comedic. So is it a comedy?
It's primarily a comedy, yes.
Okay, so.
If I can describe it, it's basically, well, the premise is that there's these main this that the main characters are trying to they go around in the spaceship and they're trying to find rare aliens so that they can, register them at the sort of alien registration place and make money and stuff. The problem is they're all complete morons. So it's just hacky antics like that. It's basically if you took Cowboy Bebop and did it in the style of the goofier episodes of Samurai Champloo.
Oh, well, that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, and ironically, Shinichiro Watanabe was like a major force between all three of these shows: Cowboy Bebop, Samurai Champloo, and this. So that comparison makes even more sense to me. But yeah, this aired like 3 years ago, so it's not that recent. It's also, I guess, if I can go on a little more about that, one thing that was interesting, and unfortunately, you can't really recreate the original experience of it airing because of the fact. So remember how Attack on Titan and Dimension W aired like only a few weeks after they did in Japan? This topped it. It technically aired several hours in the US earlier than it aired in Japan.
How's that possible?
They just, I assume, had it all, they must have like co-produced it or something and then just had all like the dub stuff ready to go and to air at the same time that the Japanese version did.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it like it says like Japanese air date of first episode, January 5th, 2014. English air date, January 4th. Like they aired very close to each other, the two things, which made it interesting because it meant that no one was able to like watch ahead in the Japanese and know what was going to happen.
Oh man, so this is my first chance at not getting spoiled, and I blew it.
It's mostly an episodic series, from what I remember. I didn't see the whole thing. I think I saw like maybe seven episodes towards the end. I didn't see most of the earlier ones. Oh well, we'll see. We'll see how it holds up. I remember it being a bit of a hit or miss series, but it seems every episodic series they air on Toonami is of that variety. Okay, so now that we've discussed all that, let's get into the stuff that actually aired. We've got Dragon Ball Super Episode 45. So we get the backstory of the thing that copied Vegeta. It's because these guys made this thing that could copy the guys they were fighting against in a war. But then, of course, when you make something super powerful that has a mind of its own, it ends up kind of turning against you. So they ended up managing to what was it? Like they managed to trick it into absorbing something that rendered it inert and locking it away. But oh yeah. All the people on like the planet hit themselves with something that would make it so that if they were absorbed, it would render that inert or something. So they all basically died to stop it because it would have otherwise, spread across the whole universe and caused havoc. Yeah. So basically, we have a bunch of stuff happen that's not really of like Goten and Gohan trying to fight it and fusing and stuff. And at the beginning, I'm just kind of left wondering. So why do they have to run? Can't they just fuse and try to fight back right away? Do they? Whatever. Anyway, Goku shows up and is then going to fight the copy Vegeta. Oh, and Vegeta is going is sort of fading away because if you don't beat it in some time limit, then the original dies.
Okay. Yeah, this episode I didn't really care for, so I don't know, it just seemed a little cliche to me, the whole thing, you gotta fight my double, that whole thing.
Yeah, I wish I had more to say about it. It just felt weird that like they could that like Trunks and Goten couldn't either fight back at the start or run away themselves, and you had to have like Jocko like pull off a sort of diversion. Jocko was kind of funny in this episode. So, DBZ Kai episode 144. So basically, they're going to go up against Boo now, and Gohan and Goten, you know, fuse into Gotenks, and they try to fight, except they're not really doing a great job, and they reveal to and Piccolo's like all like worried, and they reveal to him that because they originally thought there was going to be a bigger audience watching it, he says, we decided that this episode needed to be padded out a bit. I'm sorry, I mean, we were trying to play it up for theatrics, to make it look like we were losing before we turn it around and win. So then they do that, and then they reveal that they can, after fusing, turn Super Saiyan, which unfortunately might have been a little more dramatic of a reveal if that didn't happen in Dragon Ball Super that aired the same week.
Yeah.
Not the greatest timing, there. And then they're fighting, and, yeah, that's kind of it.
Yeah, I actually liked this episode. I thought some of the comedy was pretty funny, and I kind of enjoyed the way that Gotenks is always like so overconfident. He like becomes a different person than either of their two personalities. So it's like a third different person, and Piccolo being so serious is pretty funny too. I hope that they do get the show off to the whole gang who followed them down there, because that would be pretty funny to watch battle commentary from them. So, yeah. Oh, and Mr. Satan. I was really hoping for something funny with Mr. Satan. I was so disappointed that they didn't have anything funny with him, because I thought what was going to happen is Mr. Satan was going to go out and then the TV crew would meet up with them and say, did you defeat Majin Buu yet or something? Mm-hmm. That would have been pretty funny, but they missed their chance there. So, Oh, well,
yeah. Yeah, it has some funny stuff. I personally just did start getting kind of annoyed by how long it was going with, like, you know, the sort of theatric stuff. It just kind of started wearing on me, but yeah, it was kind of fun otherwise. Okay, so episode 4 of Black Clover. So Asta and Yuno make it to the capital for the Magic Knights exam thing, and then they go through it's to decide which of like the Magic Knight squads, if any, you can actually were they called squads or were they called units?
Yeah, they're called squads.
Squads. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's it. Join. You know, depending on which ones you manage to impress and which ones want you. Since Asta doesn't actually have any magic, he basically bombs everything until the final part where this one guy who's been acting nice to Asta, but turns out he was just, you know, actually a jerk and just wanted to go up again. Because you go up against someone else to try to show off your skills. So he picks Asta because he assumes it will be really easy. But then Asta basically raffle stomps him. because even if he doesn't have magic, it turns out in a world where everyone uses magic, having a magic canceling ability is actually pretty overpowered sometimes. Mm-hmm. So he's able to beat him, and that's the episode.
Yeah. Hopefully you're finding this as or you're not finding this as cliche as I am, because like everything from this entire episode, I felt like I'd seen happen before in a different anime somewhere. I felt like every single thing that happened, I was like, okay, I saw that before. I saw that before. I saw that before. It's just other stuff rehashed, and it's pretty annoying. Well, so
to be fair, if you're taking so many cliches from different series and putting them all together, doesn't that end up actually being kind of unique? But honestly, I think this was I mostly enjoyed this episode. I think it was definitely my favorite so far. I liked some of the humor. I liked the fact they gave like an introduction to all the Magic Knight captains. That was actually kind of nice, and they didn't do that until quite a bit later in the manga. But I guess, you know, at this point they can go, oh, this stuff was revealed in the manga. Okay, let's show them and give them some stuff. Also, we're introduced to Yami, who happens to be the best character in the series, so that's nice. Well, in my opinion.
Which character was that?
He's like the really like gruff looking black haired guy.
Oh, okay.
I think he's really funny personally, but well, he didn't really do that much this episode. But anyway, I did personally enjoy this episode on the whole. Like more stuff was happening, and while there was still padding, it was at least informative padding, like in the form of, going over the various Magic Knight captains and stuff. That was, much better than the previous sort of stuff we've had there.
Okay.
All right. So Stardust Crusaders, episode 19. So essentially what's going on here is that they, I'm trying to think of the right way to describe the sequence of events in this episode. Okay, so Kakyoin has this dream where he gets attacked by Death 13, which is then going to try to go after him, but then he wakes up, except then he can't actually remember the dream at all, but notices that he got cut from like he did in the dream. But again, he can't like remember that. Anyway, so everyone decides to, keep going and take, and they end up taking a plane, despite, Jotaro not liking having to be in a plane with Joseph again, which, and spoiler alert, he crashes, so this is the fourth plane he's been in that has crashed Joseph. I like the way that's just a running gag at this point. But yeah, anyway, so they get persuaded to take this, baby along with them because it needs medical treatment or, something. But, it turns out that, oh, wow, looks, the baby's evil. It has a stand. It's the one who's been infiltrating people's dreams. So it's trying to kill Kakyoin and Polnareff, but people manage to wake them up, before it finishes them off. And, then, like I mentioned, they end up kind of crashing, off and, having to set up camp, and Kakyoin notices that on his hand, because he did this in the dream, he actually wrote out, he actually carved out baby stand onto his arm. So he at least, so that kind of makes him figure out what's going on. And I know I probably didn't make the sound, I made the sound kind of dry, but I honestly really liked this episode. I thought it was pretty entertaining personally. Also, I just wanted to say, I ordinarily don't comment on this, but by golly, I loved the voice that they gave for the Death 13 stand. Like, that was, like the way it sounds, like, super young, like a baby, but the way it also sounds super sinister and scary. Like, they just did that perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't like this episode that much. Part of the reason was because they showed this bleeding, exploding dog, which had nothing to do with the plot. It just was like there to, have unnecessary violence.
Well, I think it served the point of reinforcing the fact that if you get killed in the dream, you get killed in real life.
Yeah, but there was no reason for that in any case. But, Jotaro continues to be completely useless, and I don't understand why. And also, these characters have to be really stupid because they can't ever figure out what's the stand. And yet the stand is always something totally obvious, and they just can't figure it out.
But they, like, but, I mean, but they, but when they wake up, they don't have any memory of the dreams. They have no reason, except for Kakyoin, when he figured that out. There's no reason for them to believe anything weird is particularly going on, other than that they had some bad dreams. That's literally all they know.
Mm-hmm. But it's a pattern, though, that they, every time they come up with some sort of something they, some person or being they come across, they can't ever figure out what's causing them, what's causing all the bad things to happen. And it's like kind of obvious, you know. True. I don't know.
I agree with some previous ones, but I do think at least so far in this episode, they've justified it by having them not remember anything about the dreams. So there wouldn't be any reason for them to suspect anything. So far. Although I don't know, you like mentioned Jotaro being useless, but I don't really see that. Like, he was the one who beat the guy in the previous, episode. And admittedly, I suppose you can say anyone could have done, that. And, but like, he also, if you don't count the stuff with Steely Dan, 'cause he was mostly just kind of there just to, you know, try to, keep him from hurting himself. But like, he beat Enyaba, for example. He also was the one who defeated the sort of car stand. I mean, there's been a bunch of stuff he's done, I think.
But if you compare him to the other characters, like right now, if I compared him through all four characters, I would put him fourth. And he's supposed to be the main character, and he's like, he's got the least attention to of any of the characters. You know, this episode was all about Kakyoin, you know? So I don't know. I just think he is really getting shafted, and I would expect he would be the main character. So, you know, I mean, maybe by JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, they still mean Joseph Josar, but I don't know.
Okay. Personally, I'm not really bothered with that. I feel like he's had enough of a role in things, although it is true that a lot of times it seems like his main job is just to kind of come in after other people have, like, done most of the work just to finish the job. But he still has been doing that, so. Okay. Let's see. Was there any, one thing I wanted to mention. So, you know, those, like, how Toonami, when it goes to commercial or comes back from commercial, always shows, like, some brief scene from the series?
Mm-hmm.
So, and this has bugged me, because they change them every so often, and for several weeks now, for Kakyoin, it's him saying, like, I really don't care that you're a baby, I'll snap your neck like a twig. Well, thanks for completely spoiling what, that the baby was evil. Because they spoiled it like weeks ahead of it even being introduced. I mean, sure, you can figure it out pretty quickly, and it's revealed quickly also, but you just gave it away completely with that. Who picks these things? Okay. So, all right, we got that. So next is Iron-Blooded Orphans episode 35. Let's see. Right. So basically on Mars, they're excavating things and find something weird. So that McGillis guy comes over to meet with, them, because he figures out what it is. And it's some sort of automated mobile armor thing that's basically works automatically to attack mobile, like suits and stuff. So, you know, he's saying, you know, you have to, like, not let it out and stuff. But then some guys show up to try to, because they're angry at him because they think he has some secret agenda in coming out here, which then makes the things actually wake up. And that's the episode. I kind of went through it fast, but honestly, this was actually one of the more interesting episodes of the series, I think.
It was. No, you're right about that. I found this episode to be actually pretty interesting. It kind of reminded me of that whole thing that happened in Ghost in the Cell a couple weeks ago, you know, wherever the guy like surprised them. It kind of reminded me of that, and it was a pretty good twist. It's just I just don't really care about the characters that much because of all the other episodes. So it's hard for me to get interested in it. But I thought it was a pretty good episode. It wasn't bad.
Yeah, it was enjoyable. I definitely think that this could be with them, you know, coming out and being a threat could be an interesting story for maybe not the rest of the season, but at least for a while. It's a new development. I mean, we'll have to see how it follows up. For all I know, in the next episode, it'll just be, okay, we fight. All right, we won. Well, that's over with, which would be a disappointment, but it at least is a possibility of something more interesting than what we've been getting from it.
Yeah.
All right. Next episode, 78 of Hunter Hunter.
Okay. So, let's see. Basically, those Chimera ants are continuing to collect more and more humans, and they are becoming smarter and smarter as they, as the queen eats more humans, and the one, and then whatever she gives birth to becomes smarter and smarter. So now they're going up and just getting like entire villages of people and just hauling them off to go feed to the queen. So remember this episode where a mother is crying and has two places set for her two children who have been killed by ants, and she's crying because she's hysterical because she's lost her babies. Okay, now remember all this 70 episodes from now, whenever they try to make it out that the Chimera ants are not really that bad. Okay, just remember this. Now, also, then you've got, I'm sorry, I almost said Q. Now, why would I say Q? Well, that's because I just looked over to the side and I had this Star Trek The Next Generation thing sitting there, and I almost said Q instead of Kite. So Kite, not Q. Kite is
Q is Izzy. Q would be more interesting if you were here.
Yeah. Well, Kite, he is with going to Killua, and he's getting information about the Chimera ants, and basically that they could be in this place called NGL, which I forget what that stands for, but it's basically,
it was I think Neo Green something.
Basically, it's North Korea. That's basically what it is. And so that's where the Chimera ants are.
It's Neo Green Life, because, like, you know, it's like all we reject technology and want to live with nature and stuff, which makes them more like a hyper version of the Amish, I guess. But
yeah.
But so, way more, because it did. I'm sorry to keep interrupting, but
no,
they did mention something about how they were so opposed to technology and stuff that that, like, when there was some deadly disease, they refused to take help because they wanted nature to take its course. And I'm just like, you know, I'm not an expert, but I thought that that despite their, like, you know, trying to stay away from the modern world and technology, the Amish would usually, like, take, like, modern medical stuff, but maybe I'm wrong. That's what I thought anyway. But
maybe, like, the Christian Scientists.
Maybe. I guess I was just saying it was like it's a super extreme version of like the whole live with nature, reject technology, all that stuff.
Right. Yeah. So basically the Chimera ants are busy preparing for the king and going to be given birth soon are the three guardians, which I didn't pay too much attention to last time, and that was a mistake on my behalf because they're pretty important. So you want to pay attention to those three special guardian characters that are about to be given birth by the queen. And did I miss anything? I probably missed something.
No, you went through everything. I guess there is the fact that we did get sort of introduced to some of the more individual Chimera ants who, like, apparently are going to get names or something, that because that was mentioned about how they wanted them. I guess because, you know, it's because the captions were like saying things like turtle ant and stuff.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, they didn't have names. And then they read in a book what names are. Which it's kind of weird that like they don't know what a name is, yet they know how to read a book. You know, I mean, don't you think reading would be more difficult than the concept of having a name?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point. When you think about it, because if like, you know, them like, you know, eating the humans is like, you know, imbues them with the intelligence of, you know, being able, like, you could say that's how they can read. They just are born with it because they gain that intelligence. But then if they learn, because otherwise it doesn't make sense they'd be able to read, because that's a complicated process to go through. It's like if they like innately know that, because that's the way that would make the most sense. How would they not know things like that? How would they like not know? Well, I guess maybe they wouldn't know what guns are because they were going after people who lived in like, you know, the like in the sort of primitive thing. But I think they would still know what guns were, even if they didn't use them.
Yeah, that was weird. Like how you. You could figure out how a gun works, but you can't figure out what a name is. That, I mean, even babies, or, well, maybe not babies, but toddlers know what a name is, you know? So, and if they're getting humans, I don't know. That was just weird. I don't want to waste all our time on that, but, yeah. So, I actually... You know, it wasn't a bad episode. I didn't review it yet. Okay, so I was wondering why I couldn't remember what grade I gave this episode. That's because I didn't review it yet. Okay, well, there you have it.
Okay. Oh, wait, there was one other thing that happened. There was, what was her name? Like the Wasp girl.
Yeah.
So like she and some other people are going to go there. And from what I remember, she doesn't, despite, you know, them setting up, oh, hey, this older character is going to show up. She doesn't do anything at all important. So,
she does do something happens with her, but I won't spoil what, but, I forget what her name was.
Was it Ponzu?
Yep. That's it.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, you got it.
That just kind of felt a little weird. I mean, I guess it's supposed to say, oh, she doesn't really do anything in the arc after that, but it just does strike me as a little, you know, to bring back the character and then not, and then from what I remember, but I don't know, I guess we'll discuss it more later on if we see more of that. Was there anything else I wanted to say? Okay. I think that was most of it. Although, why you got it kind of like randomly wonder what's her name, like the female sort of chimera ant? Why did she like just randomly have this red star on her like clothes?
Oh, I didn't notice that.
That one. That one. And why is like the. At least of the ones we've seen, like, not counting the queen. Of course, the one female of all the Chimera ants is the one in the super fan service outfit. I mean, it's the same thing as the Espada on Bleach. There's one female, and of course, they're in the really fan servicey thing, especially in the manga. They actually covered up Harabel a bit more in the anime. I don't know. Yeah, that's Hunter Hunter, then. We got Lupin III, episode 24. So in this one, so Lupin keeps trying to break into these banks, but isn't taking anything. So Rebecca decides that she, you know, wants to get up him. So there's like this weird stuff where she's like setting up these traps for him, but like going into banks himself. And, you know, he keeps managing to evade them. There's actually some really funny stuff where like she leaves some note there and then he manages to escape and leave a note up there himself. That was pretty funny. And then it turns out at the end that the reason Lupin's been doing all of this is because he made a bet with Jigen to decide who would end up having to clean their place as to whether he could break into the bank that had this one particular note, like a piece of money that he drew something on, which is why he's been doing all of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he manages to do it and then get out and escape. But then he apparently loses it any way afterwards, so.
Yeah. Yeah, this episode was alright, but, I don't know. It wasn't as funny as some of the other episodes have been. And usually I like Lupin better when it's funny. And I know it was trying to be funny. I didn't get it. I guess I'm just stupid.
I wasn't huge on it myself. But there were some parts that I did think was funny. Like the reveal of why he was going into all these banks. That was funny. The little stuff with the notes I thought was funny. But other than that, it was just kind of, you know, there.
Yeah. How many episodes are left?
Two.
Two episodes left.
We've got two episodes left.
And then Space Dandy.
Yep.
Okay. Well, hopefully it'll be pretty exciting. So we'll find out.
We'll see.
Yep.
All right. Naruto, 100, episode 185. So, how do I describe this episode? So, there's an ostrich who's like in the village who learns ninjutsu in order to escape. So, okay, so Naruto and some other guys get tasked with, you know, going after it, and they do, and manage to, like, you know, catch it and bring it back. And, you know, there's a bunch of other stuff along the way, and there's some, like, I can't remember, the shinobi older one who's with them, and there's some stuff about him, except I can't remember who he is or who his friend was that a big deal was made out of. I just remember, oh, that other guy, he's that guy who has that hair that goes over his eye. Okay. I'm not really talking about much of the plot because there isn't much of one, but I'm just left confused because maybe the episode said this and I just wasn't paying attention at that point or I forgot, but why is it so critical they recapture this ostrich anyway? Like, is he like talking about how he left because he wants freedom? So like, well, what's wrong with that? Why can't he just go and do what he wants? Are the main characters basically forcing it into slavery? Is that what they're doing? Because it seemed like that's what they were doing.
Yeah, this episode I thought was the equivalent to the Michiko and Hatsune Circus episode. So, I thought it was just so stupid. I don't know.
Wait, which Michiko and Hatsune Circus episode? Because there were like two of them.
The bad one.
The first one, then? Because I actually remember kind of liking the second one, which I thought was like, oh, okay, so it kind of focused on their relationship and stuff and seemed to make it interesting, except then the show didn't go anywhere interesting after that. But for one episode, one moment, I was actually really starting to get invested in that series. Mm-hmm. So you were probably talking about the first one, which I can't remember much about Wasn't there a guy who was trying to expose some secret of the circus or so? I don't know. It's been so long, and I can't remember much at all. But yeah, it's just that was the main takeaway I had of it. It's like, well, what's wrong with them just being free? Is there? Because maybe there was an explanation, but I don't remember one, and it just made it seem like they were just dragging him back for, I don't know, no reason.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Well, there you have it. Okay, what's next? Outlaw Star?
Yeah. Outlaw Star episode 16. So in this one, the gang basically gets this offer from this guy that because they were trying to get what was it even called? Some like it's a really valuable fuel source substance, and I can't remember what it's name. Now I remember. Dragonite. Because I knew it had the same name as something else. In this case, a Pokemon. But, yeah. So, you know, they have to go on to this water planet to try to get the stuff. And, you know, it's all dangerous because there's these big monsters there. But they end up, you know, agreeing and stuff. And then they end, and they get there and, you know, manage to get some of it. And then, but then, like this really big monster grabs the ship before they, can get out. So the guy who wanted them to, this sort of old guy, just sort of he checks himself out in this escape pod. And then, I think this was done in, wasn't this an episode of Star Trek? He like gets inside of the thing and then blows himself up to defeat it so they can get out. Because, like, you know, he mostly just wanted to go back down there, you know, to sort of fulfill his dream and stuff. So he's like, okay, I'll just sacrifice myself. So then they get out back with all their valuable ore, which is worth a ton of money. But because it costs so much to actually repair the ship after all that, did they end up with nothing as a result? Yeah, I like this episode. I thought it had some funny bits. It was still kind of, you know, an episodic standalone thing, but I thought it was interesting.
Right, yeah. I just remember Gene at the very end going, "Old man!" He was screaming it like that at the very end. And the old man, that was his name, old man. He didn't have a name. So
yeah, was he given a name?
No, he wasn't.
Huh.
He didn't have a name. Even on the wiki, he goes by old man.
Okay.
So, that was, yeah.
Yeah. I still liked it. I did kind of see the ending joke of, you know, having to spend so much money to actually fix the things and pay for their other expenditures that they end up with nothing.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
It's like I didn't see this part, but I know in the series Red Dwarf, there's this part where these guys they're framed for a crime or something, so they break out of prison and are able to prove their innocence, but in the process commit so many crimes that they're given the same sentence they had before. So that was Outlaw Star. It was an enjoyable episode. I just can't really say that much more than that, unfortunately. There's some really funny stuff with Aisha also. She was enjoyable in this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, so Ghost in the Shell episode 8. And Toonami continues their quest in trying to make it hard to watch the stuff, to watch these things without staying up super late to watch it. Because now there's stuff on demand or on their website. Because before, it had finally caught up. It was nice and caught up with, this. It had the same episode that recently aired. Now, this was the 8th episode end of this season. And then, like, again, on their site or on demand, it starts with the 10th episode. I think what must have happened was that they just kept cycling through it on a weekly basis over the break, which put them 2 episodes ahead of where they should be. So I was still able to watch this one, but I don't know how I'm going to handle with the future things. Maybe I'll actually figure out if I how to actually record something with DVR, which I've never had to do before, but we'll see about that. But in terms of the episode content, this was a confusing episode, so I'm not sure how well I can explain it, but they're investigating a guy, and they're also trying to figure out what was going on with what's-his-name, the weird face guy from the previous episode, because, you know, they don't trust him. But in the meantime, there's something else. They're going after this other person, but and then find out Section 1, another group like them, is also doing that, but they were both fed false intel, and the guy was actually an innocuous person rather than... But whereas the other guys were made to think he was, like, some sort of terrorist or something and kill him, so everyone just kind of got set up again. Yeah, I'm sorry if that didn't make much sense, but yeah, I watch... It's one of those episodes where I'm like, okay, I can understand exactly... I understand what they're doing right now. I just don't really... I'm just kind of confused by the overall plot of it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I didn't get to see okay. it. So, yeah.
All right.
I don't know.
So, I guess we'll move on to what we thought were the best ones. I think you suggested we do our top three. Do you want to go with that then?
Or? Yeah, that would be more interesting because sometimes we seem to take the same ones every week. So let's see. My picks are going to be...
I can go first if you'd...
Go ahead.
Yeah, because... So, yeah, for me, it would be number one is JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, but not quite by as much as it has been for previous things. Then second place would be Outlaw Star, followed by Black Clover.
Okay, I'm going to go with Hunter x Hunter first, Outlaw Star second, and Dragon Ball Z Kai third. So those are my top three for this okay. week. Yeah.
Well, we actually diverged considerably. Well, outside of both putting Outlaw Star in the same place.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I guess that's it for the stuff on Toonami. I'll just say if you want to see more of our episodes, you can go to TommyAPhillips.com or ToonamiTherapy.podbean.com for our past episodes. We usually try to get record on Tuesday and post on Wednesday, but it doesn't always happen. This week it looks like we are, but that's normally when we try to get the stuff up on Wednesday.
Right.
And yep, that's the usual spiel. Oh yeah, if you want to leave any comments or questions, you can just do so at either location. All right. Did you have anything else to say?
Well, yeah. When it comes to anime, I am trying something weird out. I'm actually watching something that's currently airing, and it's kind of an adult anime, so it may not be for everyone. But it's called Citrus, and it's currently airing on Crunchyroll. So that is. Yeah, I'm watching this so-called Citrus. It aired its first episode on Crunchyroll on Saturday, I think. And I finally got to watching it today. So I might be reviewing that. I might not. It depends on, I don't know. It depends. So, that's all I've got. What about you? So,
Citrus, that seemed like the fruit. Then?
Yeah, the fruit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow. That thing's only aired one episode so far, I think.
Yeah, that was the first episode.
Yeah, that's new. For me, well, this isn't anime exactly, but I did. I've gotten through. This is like a Western cartoon, but I have now seen every episode of Star versus the Forces of Evil, which I have completely fallen in love with this series. I really like it. It's.
Explain it to me.
Okay, I'm trying to explain. Okay, so basically, the main character is Star is basically like this princess from this alternate universe where, and she gets like this sort of magic wand thing at her. Oh dang, is she 14 or 16? She's 14, I'm think, as she's supposed to do. Except she's like really reckless with it, so they basically, so her parents basically send her to Earth instead to and stuff, and sorry, I'm not explaining this well. And basically, you know, it's about the sort of wacky, well, it's initially mostly about the sort of wacky adventures she and her new friend, the person she ends up like living with, Marco Diaz, have. And but it does, as it goes on, develop much more of a story and stuff than just being, you know, like kind of silly stuff each episode. I really liked it. I think it's, the jokes are pretty good. It's pretty funny. I like a lot of the I like the characters. The overall story is interesting. I'm glad that I got into it now, because if, because season two had this super big cliffhanger, and I'm glad I didn't have to wait through that.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those shows that gets a lot better as it goes along. I think the first season is much more sort of episodic and sort of comedy oriented than the later ones, which are still comedy oriented, but yeah. Yeah.
I'm reading up on it, trying to get information of it. So it's had three seasons so far.
It's in the middle of its third. Yeah. This guy actually, this guy made this video called Jellopocalypse made this thing called, so this is basically Star versus the Forces of Evil, which is actually a pretty decent synopsis of the show that I thought was pretty funny. I actually watched that before I watched the show, but no, I really like, I really liked it. I think my biggest issues are probably, especially in the first season, a bunch of the things is that they kind of, I kind of feel like sometimes just for like, you know, silliness, they like kind of give her wand these like super absurdly powerful abilities that then just kind of make some of like the more plot driven stuff feel a little weird. Cause like, well, if the thing can do this sort of craziness, like stop time for an extended period, why is this like, you know, an issue? But you know, that's again an earlier episode thing. And like I said, I think it gets a lot better as it goes on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, well, that's interesting. What channel is that again?
It's on Disney XD. I don't even get the channel. I just like kind of watch some of the stuff on online, and then I just decided, okay, I want to see more. I'm just going to purchase this stuff on Amazon's on demand, and then I kind of just got more and more and kept watching it. I really liked it. It was interesting, though, because the first episodes I saw were from season three, and then I kind of went back and watched the series in order, and it was interesting to, like, see the setup for a bunch of the stuff that happened later.
Mm.
Yeah. But yeah, so I just wanted to mention that because I've actually managed to see all the episodes now. It's a pretty fun show. I like it a lot, like I've mentioned. It's probably my favorite show that's currently being produced. And when I say produced, I want to emphasize as in they're like making new stuff. So the stuff on Toonami, like a lot of this doesn't count because they're like, no, they're not making new episodes of Stardust Crusaders. Like they were already made. It's just a matter of dubbing and airing them, for example.
Right. Yeah.
So there's that, I guess. So I can consider that a recommendation. I hope it stays good, because it's always annoying when you, like, hardly recommend something, and then, you know, down the line, it gets a lot weaker, and you're like, wow, I'm not, like, you know, Bleach.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that had nothing to do with Toonami or anime, although, I mean, I guess there's a few anime influences in the series. But, we've got, that... Yeah, one of the things, if I can say one thing, season three has mostly, because the first two seasons mostly kind of took place on Earth and stuff, season three has mostly taken place back in, like, her sort of home dimension, which has made things, which has kind of made which has been interesting for to change the focus like that, which I have liked a lot. So yeah, we've got that. All right, that's everything. So I guess we'll see you next week.